Okay. Welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining today's Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Ramgiridhari Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5.13.19 onwards. So before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give a brief introduction on Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Bhargavi Mataji, and Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Grace, Ram Giridhari Prabhuji, is a disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji has been practicing Krishna consciousness since 1989. He hails from Sri Rangam, Tamil Nadu, India, and is currently living in Navi Mumbai. Ram Giridhari Prabhu is a trustee at Bhaktivedanta College, Radhadesh, and Alfred Ford School of Management, Belgium. He is responsible for collecting annual reports from all the ISKCON temples, preaching centers, Namahatas, and processing and maintaining the database. This service is under the purview of the Governing Body Council of ISKCON. Prabhuji is director of North American Institute of Oriental and Classical Studies in Tennessee. He is also one of the leaders of Congregation Developmental Initiative of ISKCON, Navi Mumbai. He's organizing programs and preaching to young children and youths in Mumbai. He has a master's degree from Birla Institute of Technology and Science, Pilani and Bachelor's of Engineering, Electronics and Instrumentation from Anna University in Chennai. Ram Giridhari Prabhu is co-founder, managing director, and CEO of Garanga Soft Tech Private Limited, a software development and technology services company since 2007. He is also co-founder and director of Goloka Education, an educational resource development company since 2011, and co-founder and director of Gokul Kids Education, an early childhood education initiative of MS Goloka Education. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the call, Prabhuji. So wonderful to be in your association.
Thank you, Mataji, for the brief introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we are really fortunate to have you on this call, Prabhuji, and we are really eagerly waiting to hear from you. Thank you so much. You can please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Dhanyavaad to everyone. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I have a small technical snag that my video is not turning on, so probably... you have to bear with me. Can you able to hear me clearly?
Yes, Prabhuji. Voice is clear. Yes.
Yeah, so that's, I think, probably today I may not be able to, some issue in my video. So if I turn on the video, audio goes off. So let's have the session without my video on. So please excuse me for this night. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So we are reading from 5th canto, chapter 13, the further talks between King Rahuguna and Jada Bharata, shloka number 19. Ata katanchit savimukta apada punascha sartam pravishati arindamam advanyam yusmim ajayani veshito brahman jano dyapina veda kashchanam. O killer of enemies, Maharaja Rahuguna, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life. For that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest even at the point of death. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.31 says, Nate vidusvartha gatim vishnum. Generally, people do not understand the ultimate goal of life. As stated in the Vedas, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadha Pashyanti Surayaha. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Atakatanchit Savimukta Apadham Punas Chashartam Pravishatyarindamam Advaniyamusmin Ajayani Veshito Brahman Janodhyapina Veda Kashchanam. O killer of enemies, Maharaja Rahuguna, if the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life, for that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest even at the point of death. First of all, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. So, it's a pleasure to be in the assembly of Vaishnavas to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially the current context that we are in is very intense, very relevant, and some soul-stirring discussions are happening between Maharaj Rahuguna and Jada Bharata. If you slightly, you know, go to that, transport ourselves to that particular scene, understand Jada Bharata's current state of mind, position, you'll understand in what depth, in what intensity this conversation would be happening. It is after his own mistakes in the past life, he had to go through whatever ordeal he had to go through. And finally, he got into a position to eventually make it to the Supreme Lord. So this particular chapter, this is one of the chapters like how in Prachini Barhi's concept in context, Narada Muni used an allegory to drive home a point. Even in this context, King Rahuguna and Jadabharata are discussing about the nature of this material world. So I have few reflections to share as a part of this particular chapter or this particular shloka. We will see within the limited time, whatever we can share, we'll share. Duryodhana and Vidura, they were discussing amongst themselves. Not once, not twice, several instances. So Dhritarashtra and Vidura. So Dhritarashtra and Vidura regularly used to meet and keep discussing about, you know, various affairs. And one of the things that they used to discuss was about Duryodhana being an unruly person. So Vidura several times told Dhritarashtra how he should not get carried away by his putra, attachment to his son. Because in this chapter, you are going to discuss further how the nature of family attachments, maybe, you know, it is there in the past and it's also going to come again. So the nature of attachment towards one's own family is explained. And if somebody is not careful, if somebody is not trying to see them in the right perspective, what can happen? So in case of Dhritarashtra, Vidura several times warned that what Duryodhana is doing, his approach, his intention, they are all is highly unacceptable. So please don't take his side. It is explained that every time when Vidura and Dhritarashtra used to speak, Dhritarashtra used to leave the meeting completely convinced that I should go and educate Duryodhana and not fall into his trap. But it is explained, but as soon as he sees Duryodhana, the entire state of mind Dhritarashtra prepared himself for get completely collapsed. And Dhritarashtra, out of his love for his sons, as well as not able to control his unruly son, he used to surrender to his, you know, whims and fancies. So it is explained that whilst the nature of devotee's association, wonderful association, and sane association is so divine, so wonderful, so purifying, one and only when we learn to disassociate from unwanted association. If we not consciously put an effort to withdraw ourselves from unwanted, unacceptable association, the real effect of devotion may not manifest. Why it is always explained that good association is to be sought, bad association is to be given up. It is not about the weakness in good association. It is about the strength of bad association or the environment somebody is put in. That is why Rupa Goswami explained in Upadeshamrita, Sangatyagat Satavrite Sadbir Bhaktir Prasidyati. Out of the six favorable principles of Krishna consciousness, the Sangatyaga, Asat Sangatyaga. So we are going to churn this particular context in a slightly deeper manner through some reflections. It is explained, there is one very wonderful story. It's a very famous story. You all would have heard it, but I'll repeat it in this context, which Vidura is telling in Mahabharata. This is about a person who is walking in the forest. He was chased by a tiger. So this guy, out of anxiety as well as out of fear, he started running. And when he started running, he finally got himself stepped on a elephant trap. We call black hole, elephant trap, whatever that is. Because if you see elephant trap, they would have dug a big hole, but covered with some false ground, as if this is covered by grass. As soon as an elephant steps on it, without realizing what is underneath, the elephant is trapped. So this guy running, fearing this tiger, he eventually stepped on an elephant trap. And thankfully, or incidentally, in the process of him falling into the trap, this guy caught hold of a branch of a tree which was leaning over that place. So he caught hold of that. So he didn't actually fall inside that pit. And neither he was on the ground. He was in between hanging. And this tiger is waiting to eat this guy. So this guy thought, thank God, I got saved from the tiger. So he's holding on to the branch, but he is seeing down inside the pit, there are a lot of poisonous snakes, scorpion, several poisonous creatures were there. So he thought, if I actually give up, I'm going to fall inside this trap and I'm going to die. If I go up, anyway, I'm going to die because the tiger is waiting to eat me. What is happening was, in the process of him thinking about this, there were some white rats. They were trying to eat this branch on which he was leaning on. So which means, whether he wishes to stay or not, in some time these rats are going to eat these branches, and that will make this branch weaker and he's going to fall down. So if not by his choice, it is only a few moments, few minutes left for him to maintain his choice, because as soon as the rats are going to finish those particular branches that he's leaning on, he's going to fall down. So he can't go up. He's sure to fall down. And in the entire process, there was a honeycomb that was there, part of the branch. And that, because of him hanging onto the branch, the honeycomb was completely shaken, disturbed. The honeybees started to fly and start to sting this guy. So technically speaking, he doesn't even need to wait till the branch is chewed or, you know, cut by the rats. Because of the stinging of these bees, he may even give up. So practically speaking, he can't go up, he can't go down, he can't stay, he can't give up, he can't plan, nothing can be done. His death is determined that he is going to die. In the entire, you know, scenario, what is happening was, because of him shaking the branch, the honey droplets were dripping from the honeycomb, and this guy was sticking his tongue out to aim to catch hold of the honey droplets. Vidura is explaining this story, this allegory, and he is actually giving details of each of the members of this scene. How these rats are like relatives. And he is giving, is going by how the tiger, how the scorpions, and how the mentality of this person is going by all the details, which is similar to what it has been discussed between Rahuguna and Jadabharata. So to cut the long story short, it is to note that the mindset of a person who is engaged in sense gratification, the mindset of a person who is thinking that I am the enjoyer, as it is explained here, he will find no stone unturned. He will make sure that every opportunity is availed for his sense gratification, even in this most precarious condition. So the first warning, or the first reflection, I can say, as a part of this, is that unless and otherwise, one severed his asat sangha by some special endeavor, no magic can happen. In spite of all the wonderful arrangement, he will still have to face the consequences of the nature of this material world. Prabhupada very clearly said, beware of Maya. You don't need to go anywhere else. She could as well be within our movement. So make sure you learn to differentiate between what is Krishna, what is Maya, and try to act carefully. So my first reflection is that unless and otherwise, we make a program to step aside from the evil effects of asat sangha, we will, how much ever, you know, try to make our endeavors to improve upon, we will continue to suffer. Now the question may arise that the process is wonderful, the mercy blessings are sublime, everything is glorious, can they not counteract these evil things? So they definitely will, and they definitely can. What is important is that we need to make sure two things are always taken care of. Number one, that not committing an offense. And number two, not staying in a place or circumstances which will make us to commit an offense whilst we are practicing Krishna consciousness. What this process is not assuring, what this process is not trying to absolve us is, if you commit an offense, if you learn to continue in that association, then in both circumstances, you have to take responsibility. The process cannot take. The process can take responsibility of purifying us from our sinful effects. This process can take responsibility of purifying us from our unknown mistakes. The process can take responsibility, in a sense, can purify us from various such circumstances. But for sure, this process of Krishna consciousness wants us to take responsibility to get rid of our offensive mentality as well as offensive association. I'm not sure if I have come across any verse, any shloka, any references where it is said that you just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you just chant this, do this, all your offenses will be vanished. There are two things. One is called sin, second is called offense. Sins, unlimited sins committed as much as we could even imagine, can be eradicated by a simple process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. But aparad and association with that aparad is something to be avoided. So my first reflection is that in our endeavor to Krishna consciousness, we need to take special steps, special efforts to see to that we are not anywhere closer to committing offenses or committing ourselves to such association which is direct in the direction of materialistic life. So this is my first reflection. The second reflection is about what Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Let's understand this statement. Many times we think sexual attraction is just about the act of sex or attraction towards opposite sex, or sometimes even same sex for that matter. But my understanding is the extension of anything to do with portraying ourselves in the forefront at any cost. I will use certain statements which may sound strong, but I'm not trying to target anyone. Those who are self-centered, those who are always thinking around themselves, I would put it where those who are selfie conscious. I'm not against selfies, but I'm saying if we are constantly thinking about how I look and how I am, who I am, in a manner so that others are appreciating me. Basically, the thought of I, me, mine only. After coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, we have definitely developed some rational, some thinking, some questioning ability. But unfortunately, this aspect of self-attraction is something very difficult to give up. I have seen where we have compartmental our life, saying that this is Krishna consciousness compartment of my life. This is my professional compartment of life. This is my social compartment of life. So long as we are going to operate in that spirit, so long as we are going to have that as a, ideology of our Krishna consciousness, we are definitely going to fall prey to what Raghuguna is discussing with Jada Bharata. Because Krishna consciousness is not a part of our life. Krishna consciousness is a way of life. I gave a series of lecture on digital devotion. So that we discussed, sometimes the so-called facilities that we are enjoying, which is for sure very wonderful facilities in terms of technology being utilized for Krishna consciousness service, if we are not careful, can as well trap us. Like when I chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I am supposed to be chanting with a very, focused attention to the mantra that I chant. But our mind, our surroundings, our, all the other quotients, they will all stand up to bother us. And several planning, discussions, evaluations, all of them will come during the time of chanting, where we will start even to analyze how I even went into such a distraction during chanting. So the most interesting part is, I get distracted in my chanting is one problem, but the second highest level of distraction is, I analyze how I got distracted while chanting. In the same way, I am Krishna conscious, but in the process of I am being Krishna conscious, I also want to make sure my senses, my quotients that I wish for myself are fulfilled. When we compartmentalize Krishna consciousness and not make Krishna consciousness as your way of life, we will definitely, come into this particular shloka and have to understand where the problem is. When one is captivated by sexual attraction, the sexual attraction is about anything to do with identifying ourselves with our body, whether it is our body beauty, our money, our wealth, our followers, our advancement, our technology. Today, I may sit on, an online class or an online forum, thanks to, some forums where we are very consistently able to do this service. But when I am alone, I would always say that the so-called social media, they try to show posts as if they are helping us. And if we are not careful, we may get somewhat carried away. It's like a credit card advertisement. In a credit card advertisement, we get to hear that someone is extending their help to us by giving us free credit card. By the time we finish 2 months and look back, one, we are in debts. Number two, they know our anartha very well, that sometimes we may miss the deadline. And when we miss one deadline, you know what the penalty and what the interest rates that they are charging. So the nature of this material world is what is described over here. If the conditioned soul somehow or other gets out of his dangerous position, what is dangerous position? Today, my problem is addressed. Now I am free. And now immediately our mind will say, let me go back and enjoy what I want to enjoy. The very famous story of Indra becoming hog. Indra became a pig because of a mistake that he has done. He was supposed to undergo that punishment for one long year. His punishment period got over and Brahma is coming and asking Indra, hey, my dear Indra, your punishment period is over. Why don't you come back and take over your responsibilities? What was Indra's response? My dear sir, I'm so happy with my family. I'm enjoying different varieties of filth here. I am having my happy family time. What is this all heaven, even all this thing about? Suppose, for example, somebody tells the story, maybe with all the details, and give all of us a piece of paper and say, please write your opinion about Indra's decision, Indra's response to Brahma. I am sure we would have return some good peace of mind to be given to Indra, saying, hey, you are Indra, man. You are Indra. Please get out. You have a wonderful heavenly planet. Everybody is ready to serve you. You have apsaras, you have facilities, you have this and that. Why do you think that this gutter that you are in is your heaven? Please, you know, wake up. Jeev jago. I'm sure all of us will give a wonderful counseling to Indra. My personal two cents is, replace the name Indra, and at least in my case, I can put my name there. Those counselings are required for me. And most of us as sadhakas fall into that category because we tend to forget our constitutional position and we tend to remember that our present is something that I am supposed to enjoy. And thanks to the so-called cinema stars whom knowingly or unknowingly the whole world has accepted them as celebrities and role models, have also given few verdicts like that. I'm not sure about Hollywood, but in Bollywood, there is a strong ideology prevailing because Shah Rukh Khan has said that, "Hum ek hi baar jeete hain, ek hi baar marte hain, jiyo zindagi apne hisab se." Which means I live once, die once, so live the way you want to live. And this is very famous, you know, actors speaking in different forums and advertisements and movies. All our younger generation who does not have interest in spirituality, when they hear them, they start to believe it. They start to think that I am going to live only once, so let me do what I want to do. So I want to conclude my second reflection by stating that if we are compartmentalizing our life and try to keep Krishna consciousness as a part of life, you see, Prabhu, when I am in Bhagavatam class, I am a devotee. I am a very sincere practitioner. I make notes. Sometimes I even shed tears. I am very sincere. Do you see that point? Yes, we see that. But rest of the time, my space. So let me do what I want to do. You don't tell me what I'm supposed to do. And Jada Bharata and Rahuguna's conversation, if somebody reads, they will change that opinion. Because the nature of this vicious circle of sense gratification is such that it will give every possible rational and argument to say how I should not give up my independence at any cost to enjoy. And once when somebody learns that I should not fall trapped to my own such a ideology, then he is a student or a good candidate to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is not part of our life. Krishna consciousness is a way of life. That's why Prabhupada writes in the last point of this purport, the conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. Who is the so-called leaders? I'm sure, you know, prior to coming into Krishna consciousness, we also would have had our own celebrity role models. Sometimes even after coming into Krishna consciousness, our attraction towards them is not gone. And what do we pat our back and say? Don't worry, dear. You went for Mangala Arati today. You finished your 16 rounds chanting. You even read Srimad Bhagavatam. You even attended Srimad Bhagavatam, sincerely prayed, cried, shed tears. Everything is done. Now, remaining 10 hours of the day, you can do, please enjoy, relax. That's okay. Let us take it, you know, easily. This is what our mind would say. And this is a trap. That's an absolute trap. And we are all time and again, you know, being trapped. The only advantage to us is Krishna gives us another opportunity. He's going on trying and to give several opportunities because he knows that this is something that he needs to do for us to, you know, get rid of this cycle of birth and death. Third reflection is about Prabhupada explains here in this purport. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. There is a very interesting point in teachings of Lord Kapila, chapter 12, text number 27, purport Srila Prabhupada is writing. Beautiful point. He is explaining that unless one is engaged in the service of the Lord. Today morning I was giving a Bhagavad Gita class to another forum. So I read that in the session. I'll just read that portion. It's a very wonderful thing. It's from teachings of Lord Kapila, chapter 12, text number 27. It's in the very first or second paragraph somewhere. So Srila Prabhupada is writing here, unless one has good engagements in spiritual service, it is not possible to become detached from the material service. Those who are not devotees, therefore, are interested in the so-called humanitarian or philanthropic work, such as opening a hospital or a charitable institution. These are undoubtedly good works in the sense that they are pious activities. The performer may get some opportunities for sense gratification, either in this life or in the next. Devotional service, however, is beyond the boundary of sense gratification. It is completely a spiritual activity. When one engages in spiritual activities of devotional service, he does not engage in sense gratificatory activities. Krishna conscious activities are performed not blindly, but with perfect understanding of knowledge and renunciation. You can read this paragraph maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 times to understand what Srila Prabhupada is driving home. Srila Prabhupada is driving home 3 points here. Number one, he says, unless and otherwise we are engaged in the service of Krishna consciousness, unless one has good engagements in spiritual service, it is not possible to become detached from material service. Today, in our current words, we are saying why a person is coming back to enjoy sex life or enjoy attachment, enjoy several things, is because his hands, mind, intelligence, senses, karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, mind, intelligence, all of them are tied up to I, me, mine only stage. When we go out of I, me, mine only to the stage of I, me, mine and Krishna also, if you add Krishna also into this equation, then slowly we have some hope. I, me, mine only stage in Krishna consciousness is also dangerous because the activities may vary. Previously, I may be, you know, singing, dancing, cooking. Now I am doing these activities in Krishna consciousness. But if the propensity of I, me, mine is not gone, then action may be Krishna conscious, but the consciousness is not yet associated with Krishna. It is purely something for my personal sense gratification. That is why Srila Prabhupada is trying to tell here in his teachings of Lord Kapila. He says, the devotional service, however, is beyond the boundary of sense gratification. So, the third reflection that I want to drive home is where Srila Prabhupada is telling that if we are serious in going back home, back to Godhead, we need to understand the definition of bhakti, which is not devotion, which is devotional service. Cultivation of devotional service. There are several people in this world who are not associated with Krishna consciousness. They may pat on the back saying that I am giving charity to certain institution. I am giving certain philanthropic work. I am trying to do some, you know, dharmic activities. So this dharma, this philanthropy, this all sorts of charitable initiatives are definitely good, as Prabhupada says, but they will not give us access to Krishna. Today morning in the Bhagavad Gita verse 4.28, Srila Prabhupada ends that chapter, ends that shloka, saying that he's talking about four different types of yajna. Bhagavad Gita 4.28, Prabhupada writes, he's talking about how somebody can give up their dravya, sacrificing their dravya. You know, he's saying that I will give up dravya. I will try to dovetail, my dravyamaya yajna, tapomaya yajna, swadhyaya yajna. Like that, there are different types of yajnas a person may perform. These different types of activities are sometimes portrayed as some great and glorious activities. But the last point Srila Prabhupada is writing in that is that these activities will not give us Krishna consciousness. All these yogis are faithfully engaged in different types of sacrifice and are seeking higher status of life. Krishna consciousness, however, is different from these because it is the direct service of the Supreme Lord. Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by any one of the above mentioned types of sacrifice, but can be attained only by the mercy of Supreme Lord and his devotees. So the message here, the third reflection is that when we are trying to, you know, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, when we are trying to understand this particular shloka in terms of how the conditioning is, we need to understand that for us, devotional service, direct devotional service, completely engaged in direct devotional service without any adulteration is important. Ji haan. In devotional service, we may have some imperfections. We may have some mistakes done. That is forgiven. What Prabhupada is saying, don't have adulterated Krishna conscious. In the sense, Krishna consciousness with wrong intentions, wrong motives, wrong goals, wrong purpose. Using Krishna consciousness platform for your materialistic agenda. Using Krishna consciousness agenda for some materialistic profit. Don't do all of those things. But what you can, what you are allowed as a sadhaka is, you can be imperfect. Maybe you may not be doing things in a perfect manner. That Krishna understands and forgives. That is why Prabhupada said, purity is the force. And that purity of purpose is what perfection in Krishna consciousness is. When Srila Prabhupada told, there's a very nice, famous conversation you all would have heard. And I know the second part of it. I'm sure you all must have also heard it. Srila Prabhupada gave a class and said that every one of you should be 100% Krishna conscious. Then he went ahead and said that, even if you are not 100%, even if you are 90% Krishna conscious, you are definitely going to make it to Krishna. Then he went to 80%, then he went to 70%. So, to cut the long story short, he said that even if you are 70% Krishna conscious, Krishna will accept you. Then after the class, Prabhupada went to his room. One of the brahmacharis who were there in the class, he was crying and went to Srila Prabhupada and said, "But Srila Prabhupada, I want to accept. Please excuse me. I analyzed myself. I can't be even 70% Krishna conscious, Prabhupada. So what can I do?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Please hold on to my dhoti. I have a backdoor entry. I will take you to the spiritual abode." What is all mean is, please have your purpose clear. Have our intention clear. Many a times when I pray to Krishna, when I pray to, Vaishnavas, I'm not trying to give any, clarification that I have not made mistakes. I was in Vrindavan until day before yesterday, last week. So, I was praying. Mistakes are happening. But intention, the purpose in my core of the heart, Krishna, I want you. I love you and want to ensure that I, walk this path even though some challenges may come my way. So please give that freedom to the Supreme Lord to work upon ourselves. Otherwise, what is explained over here is very scary, that without even we be conscious about it, we would fall trap. Several stories, Ajamila story, and how Ajamila used to be a Brahmana and eventually fell down, and how several spiritual authorities that we have seen in our own journey had several fall downs. So this fall down in Krishna consciousness is itself a very important agenda. Maybe sometimes we can even have a seminar on that. I have drawn a flow chart on how a fall down happens. If we try to identify at the right stage, the right situation, where does our fall down happen, by the way of identifying some symptoms, we will be able to redeem ourselves. Otherwise, we will fall down and down and down. We'll have to then wait for some extra mercy to be, you know, showered upon ourselves. So the third reflection is about how in our Krishna consciousness journey, how in the process of Krishna consciousness, we don't understand the difference between actively engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord without any adulteration, and how Krishna takes charge of that person. So Prabhupada uses the word knowledge in renunciation, or knowledge and renunciation. So that knowledge and renunciation combination in our devotional service is very important. Otherwise, every other dharmic activities may be done, may be giving you some solace, but it will not get definitely, you know, give us Krishna. And as it is explained, we will come back to the same old state of being attracted to materialistic sense gratification. The last reflection, but that's not the least, is about how in Krishna consciousness, after hearing all these things, we should need to have some courage in taking some active steps every day towards these points. We are hearing, we are regularly hearing, we are making notes, we are all trying to, you know, put in all our efforts to be sincere in Krishna consciousness. But one sincere advice that we get from self-realized soul is action in Krishna consciousness. Please take one step forward. Please take one decision forward towards Krishna consciousness. In Madhurya Kadambini, there is a very wonderful explanation about bhajana kriya. There are two types of bhajana. One bhajana is called nishtita bhajana kriya. Second is called anishtita bhajana kriya. Anishtita bhajana kriya means bhajana where you are firmly situated, stably situated. Anishtita bhajana kriya is where our Krishna consciousness is not stable. And in the Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura is writing six categories. We have once discussed in our Chaitanya Charitamrita session. The six categories, if you analyze, they are there in a person who are wobbling in Krishna consciousness is understood. Because this whole bhajana that one is trying to do, he is trying to, you know, somehow or other try to fight it out with different challenges. So the six challenges, that the six stages of Anishtita Bhajana Kriya are Utsahamayi, which means one is over enthusiastic towards, you know, what he is trying to do. You know, sometimes we are over excited, over enthusiastic. So that over enthusiasm is sometimes risky, because you have to be really stable and handling. Second is called Ghana Tarala, which means simultaneously intense and unsteady practice. So one is in temporarily vigor. Second is I sway between two extremes. Third is Vyuda Vikalpa, which means indecision in the journey of spirituality? I'm still not sure. Is it? Am I sure that I want to be Krishna conscious? I'm hearing a lot of news, a lot of, you know, messages about this Prabhu, that Mataji, this, that, this, so many, you know, updates. So is it really right? I mean, am I moving in the right direction? So indecision, viuda vikalpa. For this Vishaya Sangara, struggle with the senses. How much ever I try to, you know, understand, educate, my senses are not quiet. It is, you know, going back again and again to, you know, enjoy. That's an interesting story. I think we have heard this before, but I'll remind here. There was a devotee by name Jagat Chakshur Prabhu. He's now a sannyasi. I heard it from his own mouth. So it was on 25th Silver Jubilee celebration of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, if I'm right. He was sharing that he had a weakness towards Mahaprasadam, especially the Rajboga sweets. So he had so much weakness towards that, that he used to go and steal them without even, you know, waiting for it to be offered or not. So on the day of initiation, the previous evening, he did that. He went and stole the Mahaprasadam kept for Jagannath Baladesh Bhadra. And the next day was his initiation. 19 people were his initiation. So Srila Prabhupada called one name, you know, made them take their vows, give their names, give mala. They moved on. When his turn came, I mean, nobody knew he stole. Nobody told anybody, anyone, anything. But as soon as Srila Prabhupada gave his name, your name is Jagat Chakshur Das, the Lord with universal vision. And Prabhupada made his eyes pretty big and said, please be careful. The Lord is always watching over you. This Prabhu, now Maharaj. So he was telling that time that I had a cold, you know, vibes on my spine. I mean, I was completely feeling, you know, shaken as if Srila Prabhupada read through my heart and, you know, literally, you know, caught me red-handed. So that was the last day I, you know, did this mistake. And after that, I had a transformation. So the point I was trying to say is, Vishaya Sangara, sometimes our senses are so intense, it will not even listen. Hey, this is meant for Krishna to eat first, then I will eat. No, the senses want means want. I mean, I can say a modern digital example is, when I am hearing Srila Prabhupada's lecture in YouTube, when on YouTube advertisement come, as if something very attractive, whether it is a cosmetic, whether it is a dress, whether it is a gadget. So we will not be able to control ourselves. We will click, saying that we'll come back to Prabhupada's lecture later. Let me first see this ad, read this news, you know, read this clip, watch this clip. So we will definitely get distracted. So they know how to distract us effectively. Vishaya Sangara. Fifth is Niyamakshama, inability to hold vows. Why? Because I'm not able to control my senses. We keep breaking our vows. And last but not least, Taranga Rangini, delighting in the facilities offered by Bhakti. Yeah, yeah, I'm getting Vyasasana. Somebody is, you know, giving me prasadam ahead of everyone. I'm being called Prabhu, Maharaj, counselor, leader, authority. So many benefits, credits, and, you know, special privileges. Somebody calling me senior devotee. Somebody is giving me garland. I don't need to, you know, do any more service. Somebody else is doing service for me. I'm supposed to sit in a very royal seat and speak. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj wants that person. Dushta manaha tumi. In Vaishnava ke, my dear mind, watch out for such a propensity. So my fourth reflection, the last reflection is, in the journey of Krishna consciousness, when we are trying to fight over this evil effect, when we are trying to fight over this sense of being trapped by the sexual attraction or sensual attraction, we need to be very careful and try to educate us that how I can become nishtita bhajana, you know, try to practice nishtita bhajana kriya rather than anishtita bhajana kriya. And one of the ways by which we do nishtita bhajana kriya is to have very strong burning desire in our heart and try to fire that desire. We may not necessarily be qualified, but when we fire the desire again and again, more and more intensely, and probably we will be able to keep this fire on, because this is not only our desire, it is also equally Krishna's desire to get us back to his spiritual abode. So these are all my, you know, reflections in this current context, to just, give an overall perspective to this particular, you know, shloka. Srila Prabhupada has given a very simple and a formula, which is Gato Mukundam Parihirtya Kartyam. Just surrender to the lotus feet of Mukunda to naturally advance. But that simple act to do is what is the challenge. Sometimes they say that the most difficult thing in this world to do is to be simple. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna consciousness is simple for simple-minded, and it is very difficult for those who are complicated. So can we become simple-minded? If yes, so it's very, very easy for us to, you know, move the direction of Krishna consciousness. If not, how can we make ourselves simple-minded? The easiest way to become simple-minded is to be with a simple-minded person in a simple location with simple expectation to please him. I personally, you know, analyzed upon this on myself. When you are in Vrindavan, in the association of devotees with an agenda to serve Dham and Dhamvasis, then you forget everything else, every other nonsense. And can you carry that mood when you are coming back to your karma bhumi is what the challenge is. I pray to Radha Shyam Sundar, somehow let me please carry them. But then there is a big war going on within me. One side, Kali, senses, Maya, my surroundings, my friends, my source, they are trying to pull me one direction. And on the other side, little Vairagya, little Prarthana, little endeavor is trying to, I'm holding on to. So this war, this fight depends upon how strong our desire is, how burning our desire is. We will be able to win this war. And just once, if we cross over the line, just one. Brahmanda tarite shakti dare jane jane yei veda purane gune gaya jeva sune. This one devotee who has got the power to deliver the entire Brahmanda. So, if he can deliver the entire Brahmanda, he can as well deliver us. So, if we are not being able to get delivered, it is not because of the devotee. It is not because of the process. It is not because of anything else. It is because we have anchored ourselves on the other side. So, can we unanchor them? Yes. And it is in our hands only. So, for us to, you know, go back home, back to Godhead, the transmission channel is on, the support systems are available, and every other necessary tools and arrangements are there with us. Now, it is only us to be ready to allow ourselves to be noosed and dragged towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. I will end here. If there are any questions or comments or any corrections in what I spoke, I'll be happy to, you know, hear them for you all. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class. Practically, you said so many points that, like, how a person is getting struggled in the path of Krishna consciousness and how to handle it practically. And it is every day and every moment struggle. And the only thing is that we have to remove the anchor where we are getting attached. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this very enlightening class.
All glory to Prabhupada. So, anybody has any questions, comments, reflections?
I request devotees, if they have any questions or comments, they can ask now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranama, Gosh, Srila Prabhupada, Maharaj. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very practical class, and you are giving very deep message. It's a kind of difficult to understand everything. So, Prabhuji, can you repeat like Nishchita Bhajana and Anishchita Bhajana Kriya? you explained. So can you repeat all these six challenges we need to fight?
I
understood the meaning, but the names I didn't.
I'll state. The Madhure Kadamani says, Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, where unsteady devotional service, where we fall down. So there are all six stages or six categories. So these six weaknesses gradually appear in the heart of a devotee. And from the symptoms that such an unsteady devotee shows, that we can clearly see that unless and otherwise we take some, you know, corrective actions, our bhajana is going to be difficult. So those six are, number one, utsahamayi, which means temporarily I have some vigor. Today I will see, but I know after this class, rest of the day I will be so intense in Krishna consciousness, I will not see left, right, you know, I will only be Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada has used the word called smashana vairagya, markata vairagya. So he says that when I'm in the crematorium, I say that Ram Naam Satya hai, Baki Sab Mithya hai. So we'll just, you know, say that as soon as we take bath and come out, that's when the real effect of our vairagya is revealed. So utsahamayi is temporarily vigor. And this is not right or wrong. These are something that it will happen within us. Please recognize them and don't fall trap to it and pat on your back and, you know, get complacent. Rather, keep moving on, moving on, moving on, moving on. Show some sign of consistency. As I said, action one step at a time, firmly, you know, peacefully, and then we will be able to move forward in a proper association. So utsahamayi is the first one. Second is called gana tarala, which means simultaneous intense as well as unsteady practices. As I said, from morning mangalarti to 10 a.m., I am a sane guy. Very good. Wonderful. If somebody analyzes my day from morning 4 a.m. to 10 a.m., perfect. But from 10 to evening 7, between, nobody should ask what I did, with whom I went. I would do, you know, my YouTube. I will watch TV. I will, you know, go on shopping. I will enjoy. I will play dandiya in, for cinema songs. So nobody should ask me any of those things because that is my space. So I have defined my space as something that even Krishna cannot, you know, grab this. So this is called simultaneous intense. And if you want to know the entire story of this, please read Vritrasura's pastime. Vritrasura's pastime's beginning, how it happened? Indra sat in the courtyard. What did he do? When the Apsaras were dancing, Brihaspati entered. He didn't give a respect. What was going on in Indra's mind? Dekho bhai, maine Mangalarti to attend kar liya. I attended Mangalarti. I finished Bhagavatam class. I chanted. Now I am watching star movies. If Brihaspati come during that time, what is my problem? So that's where the whole problem started. And the story of Vritrasura is so good. It started with one small mistake. But if you see the entire trail, his second mistake was much worse than the first one. His third mistake was much worse than the second one. His fourth mistake was much worse than the third one. It never stopped. That's exactly what Rahuguna is also, you know, this conversation is being told. You may apparently feel that, and every time when he makes a mistake, somebody tells him to get corrected, he says, sorry, 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 sorry. This is the last time. Then he makes the second mistake much worse than the first one. So this vicious loop is something that we need to be wary about. The third point is viuda vikalpa, indecision. We are always indecisive, especially when it comes to Krishna consciousness, because one devotee very nicely mentioned this. Sometimes we are so much convinced about Krishna that we do not want to chant the prayer Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarin with our full heart. Because what if Krishna says, Tathastu, so be it. Suppose Krishna says, okay, whatever you prayed for, you will get it. We say Nadanam, Najanam, oh my dear Lord, I do not want any wealth. I do not want any followers. I do not want any, you know, name, fame, power, position. When we pray itself, we feel shaky. Because what if Krishna says, okay, so be it to you, my dear. So we do not want that. We always want, you know, especially in, you know, the nowadays parents, we have a situation where they want the children to be somewhat good and little bit of bad is okay. But unfortunately, there is nothing called as little bad, little good. You know, it's always a mess there. So indecision, where do I draw my line? Where do I say no? Where do I say yes? Fourth is Vishaya Sangara. Vishaya Sangara means struggle with the senses. I said, you know, we always have weaknesses, whether it is Mahaprasadam, overeating, whether it is Mahaprasadam, stealing, whether it is, you know, over-talking or gossiping, Prajalpa, Gramyakata. Oh my God. We will always make tick box saying that I am in Vaishnava association. But if you look at the content of our association, it would have been about something useless. I am not sure if how many of us would have called one another on a daily basis, Mataji, Krishna book mein 43rd chapter mein ek chapter samajh mein nahi aa raha. You would have not called anyone to say that, you know, I have a doubt on a particular thing. You would have said that Mataji did that, that Prabhuji did that. We have a gossiping, you know, sense. And fifth is Niyama Kshama, inability to hold vows. This is a typical problem in, you know, Kali Yuga, especially even within ISKCON. Thanks to social media, digital revolution, where we get carried away and we try to overlook on our vows very, you know, very badly. And last but not least is Taranga Rangini, delighted in the facilities offered by Bhakti. In spite of all this nonsense, Bhakti is offering you some benefit. Somebody is calling you Mataji, Prabhuji, Maharaj, and giving you Vyasasan, giving you garland, giving you Mahaprasadam, giving you all the credit, you know, credits. So sometimes we get complacent in that. His Grace Kalakanta Prabhu, long time back in, I think, in the year March 2000, he was in Radha Gopinath Temple, Chaupati, Gaur Purnima. He gave a fantastic class. He said, to become a senior devotee in ISKCON is not very difficult. You be in ISKCON, you're already a senior devotee. But to be advanced in Krishna consciousness is what the challenge is. If I am, I will be called 32-year senior devotee. But kya kya? What did I do? Is my heart transformed that much ever? That much, you know, in that much stage? No. So the question is, delighting in the facilities offered by Bhakti is something we should be careful of. These are the six things which Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura is warning. When you are practicing Krishna consciousness, they may come and go. Don't get trapped with them, and rather challenge them by your strong, burning desire to serve Krishna and Vaishnavas. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, all these qualities I have, in like, you know, percentage may be sometimes less or sometimes more. So, what to do with that, Prabhuji? It's always is there. It's like, you know, they are subtle. They are always there. Sometimes very enthusiastic, sometimes not, and sometimes very eager to do service, sometimes not. Sometimes we say no to the service, like, oh, I am busy right now, I cannot do this. So like that, Prabhuji.
The answer was in what we discussed today, the story that I said about Srila Prabhupada's percentage, where he said, even if somebody cannot make it to 70%, mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada said, catch hold of my dhoti. I know the backdoor entry. So can we at least do that? Can we just catch hold of Srila Prabhupada's dhoti? What does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. It means, can we completely keep ourselves engaged? I mean, it's an art or a trick. Can we help each other? Somebody is holding the dhoti of Srila Prabhupada. Can we hold on to him? Can we hold on to that person who is holding on to that person who is holding on to Prabhupada? So in that, can we make a human chain? I cannot alone manage. So I'm seeking, I'm coming to this forum. Mataji's, Prabhuji's, can you please pray for me, help me? So there are three stages, we say. Number one stage, seek blessings. Number two stage, put endeavor. Number third stage is wait for mercy. This sequence is very important, according to my understanding. You seek blessings. What is seeking blessings? don't try to do an activity based on your own strength. अपने खुद के बलबूत में काम नहीं होता. That is second. Because we always think that it is my ability to do. But in Krishna consciousness, we always need to understand it is not the ability that matters. What matters is, am I blessed to do that seva adhikara diye kara dija dasi? So seek blessings. So constantly tune up our mind in such a manner. Can I seek blessings? Blessings. That is why without blessings from our superiors, seniors, we will not be able to perform our activities properly. So first is seek blessings. Number two is put our endeavor genuinely. Prabhupada never wanted us to be honest fools. Oh, please bless me. I am fallen soul. Prabhupada doesn't want us to cry like that. You can cry and ask for your blessings and go and do your job. Try, put your endeavor. And third is ask for mercy. What is asking for mercy? With the blessings, I took up a service. The service may or may not have been done correctly or with right intensity. So there may be some mistakes. So ask for mercy to be forgiven for certain mistakes so that we still have some, enthusiasm left to do what we have to do. So blessings, endeavor, and mercy, this combination is what I would always say to fight this all out. Otherwise, this is an everyday agenda. How this everyday agenda is going to come to bother us? We should have everyday agenda to counteract this botheration. If this botheration is everyday affecting you, but we are not giving response every day back, then we are letting somebody else take over us, which we should not do. So hence, let this botheration come from whichever source it is. Let us give a counter to that. Blessings, endeavor to serve, put action in Krishna consciousness and seek for blessings, seek for mercy. That how the blessings will come? Blessings will come by humbly. I will read this particular fantastic point from the teachings of Lord Kapila. The same chapter in the very end. I hope I will be able to get that today. So where Prabhupada explains, if one meekly and submissively hears about the activities of the Lord from a realized soul, he will be able to conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unconquerable by any other process. So Prabhupada is writing, that which is unconquerable can also be conquered. And what is Prabhupada's recommendation? If one meekly and submissively hears. So the blessings part is, I was taught by my parents in my childhood days that anything to do, we begin with blessings. Whether it is our birthday, whether it is our examination, whether it is our any important events. In fact, we were taught to, take elderly's blessings every day. And what is our Vaishnava Acharya's teaching? Why Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha? It is not just a formality. It's a mood. I am seeking your blessings. Why we do every day? It is just not some formality routine. The mood, mindset. Then what happens is that slowly, unwanted things in the heart gets cleansed. We can go on speaking about this, but at least my formula is these three. Blessings, endeavor, mercy. Because endeavor is needed. God helps only to those who help themselves. So your endeavor can be sandwiched between mercy and blessings. Blessings to do. Mercy is to be forgiven for what is not done. I hope it makes sense.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I pray all the devotees, please pray for me. And we all together can make it. Alone cannot make it. It's
So there are some more questions on the chat box. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, as you rightly said, this process is indeed simple, but the problem is in our mind and we get disturbed in our routine life. My question is that when should we approach our guru and seek his intervention in the process? That is, as it is not always possible to discuss minor things with our Gurudev. I'll be driving and listening to minutes. Indradrumna Maharaj gave a class in Radha Gopinath Temple, maybe it's again 15, 16 years before. He gave a wonderful class. In that class, he mentioned same question. One disciple asked that, Gurudev, I have never got direct instructions from you like others of my other godbrothers have got. So how should I, you know, function? I need some instructions, personal instructions. So he gave a very interesting answer. He said that, I mean, he used the example of Jayaprataka Maharaj. At that time, Jayaprataka Maharaj had at least 10,000 disciples or something like that. He said, if Jayaprataka Maharaj go ahead and have to give his personal instruction to each one of his disciples, probably he will not be able to finish in, you know, 10 years to also meet one person or, reach out to each and every one of them. So every disciple should understand that when the guru is giving his Bhagavatam class, he is speaking to you. And he said, I mean, what I understood, if you try to seek some direction, if you are trying to need some advice to make progress in Krishna consciousness and approach Bhagavatam, both book Bhagavata as well as devotee Bhagavata, answer is definitely provided. This is, I'm sure all of you would have had your own experience. Anytime you have a very serious burning problem, you open Srimad Bhagavatam and read, you will get answer there, or you will get some direction there, or you'll get some perspective there, or you get some soothing effect there. So the message here is, or the response to this question is, if somebody has got a privilege to meet one's Gurudev personally, to have an audience with him, great. But if it's not, if one is not able to, it is not necessary that one's Gurudev has to directly speak from his own, you know, self. The process is sublime. The process is not just mechanical process. Krishna, if he wants to communicate, he will communicate through several agencies. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains how a rishi or a saint, he could learn several lessons from nature. There's a book by Hridayananda Maharaj called Enlightenment by Enlightenment with the Natural Path or something like that. So he writes how you can learn. Different people are acting like a guru. So my message is that if you are not able to get access to your guru from your Gurudev, the senior members in the community, some role model devotees, some sadhu sangha that you are getting, every message that you are getting a direction from them is actually directed from your spiritual master. This may sound little weird. How come what my spiritual master is thinking, what my seniors would think? But if the quest and curiosity and the intensity in which we want to learn is genuine, it is impossible for us to get misguided. If Krishna is, in spite of all our prayers, endeavors, chanting, sadhana, reading, everything, if Krishna has put us in a particular situation, probably it is what he wants us to go through for our purification. Maybe he would have understood, he would have analyzed some quotient of ours and he wanted us to go through. I'm not trying to say that we have to go through our ordeal, you know, all alone, because that's what Krishna would want us. But all I'm saying is that Gurudev's instruction need not necessarily come only from Gurudev, could as well come from any of the representatives of this process, because at the end, philosophy says, Guru is responsible for your spiritual progress. He will ensure, he will see to that. We will get all the necessary enablers. Narada Muni promised Mrigari that he will arrange for daily food. And Narada Muni went for his own bhajana. Krishna made sure Mrigari got his daily food. So the process is very sublime. So the minor nuances, definitely Gurudev may not be able to attend to it, but some of your near and dear senior Vaishnavas will be able to. Maybe somebody is fortunate enough to do that with your own Gurudev, but somebody may not necessarily. And several of Prabhupada disciples never even met Srila Prabhupada face to face and never had audience with Srila Prabhupada, but they still have connect with Srila Prabhupada. That's a message that we all should carry for us. I hope I had responded to your question. Otherwise, you can reach out to me separately. Hare Krishna, Mataji, glories to you. You are actually asking on behalf of many of us. Your level of service is unmatchable even offline. You're busy texting someone like me with no values. Please bless me with your blessings. Yes, Mataji. I fully agree with Raj Prabhu. So, Shyama Gauri Mataji does a lot of wonderful service. I've heard her glory several times. And I also have the same experience. So, I support that view. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can I speak, Prabhu?
Yes. I'm available.
Such a beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhu. Each and every point that you spoke today, I was thinking like, you know, it is for me only. I am doing this after correct here, after correct day. So very beautiful, Prabhuji, the each and every example that you gave, especially the credit card example and the using the, you know, social media, how it attracts us and how this, you know, when even we are watching on YouTube, how the ads are going to attract us, like there is, we should be very careful in each and every step. And at the end, now you are telling about how Guru not only instruct us in, through his directly Vani, but also in many ways, like now today's class also is like instructions from our Guru Vargas that we should follow this. We should, you know, be careful. This is what it happens. Like, you know, and that way we are understanding exactly what to follow and how to regulate our sadhana. Yeah, Prabhuji, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very grateful to you. I really loved the class today. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Prabhupada. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, and was Pranam. Prabhuji, one small question that you were talking about, you were recently in the Dham and came back and you're praying that to carry forward the same mood while being in the birthplace and other places. So I want to understand how is that we have to be in the service. Devotion means it's devotional service. So, and going to the Dham, it is like getting some blessings, getting that, seeing the pastime places, enriching ourselves. So is this also service, Prabhuji? Or it is one thing that to charge us and then come back and do the service? And how to carry that mood? So if we are very much pleased with that Dham's environment, how to carry that in the other places also? Hare Krishna.
I will answer this with an example of a soldier. When a soldier is, I think in the last class, in your forum or another forum, I do not know where, there is a difference between a regular citizen and a soldier. A regular citizen is considered righteous if he or she pays her taxes regularly, does not harm the public property, try to do some righteous living, then he is definitely considered as a good citizen. And everybody wants to be like that. But who is a soldier? A soldier is a good citizen plus something additional. Srila Prabhupada, when he started this Krishna consciousness movement, he wanted all of us to become soldiers of the Sankirtan mission. So, from a soldier's viewpoint, soldier is not only supposed to just fight. Soldier is supposed to first have self-discipline. He need to be disciplined. He need to be healthy. He need to be cooperative. He need to be broad-minded. He need to be accommodative. He need to be focused. And he need to be committed towards that being focused. These are all some additional components of, you know, a citizen to become a soldier. So, in this, visiting Dham is like, you know, preparing ourselves. At the same time, it is also being part of some missionary activities. For example, when I am a soldier, when I am trying to do my morning exercise or a morning walk or a morning jogging, somebody should not say, hey, look at this guy. He is trying to maintain his self, you know, self-gratifier. No. I am jogging today so that I can be fit and fine when I am called for fighting. That is why Srila Prabhupada says, when you are practicing Krishna consciousness, you maintaining your health nicely is itself a devotional service. So if you ask me, what is exactly devotional service? Maintaining your health is devotional service. Visiting Dham and hearing pastimes is devotional service. you're chanting, you're reading, everything can be classified devotional service. But very importantly, what you should know is if you do all these things, but when the time of fight comes, you go and sulk, or you don't cooperate with your buddies, or you don't take instructions from your captain, when you are not ready for war and sleeping at that time, then that's when we will be questioned. That's when we will be, blamed. So if we first make up our mind, yes, I want to be a soldier. Yes, I want to get enrolled in the army of Sankirtan mission, which means I am already giving myself in just this decision. Even to become a soldier and an army man and eventually fight and become a colonel, commander, brigadier, all the, cadre, it may take several, years just to take a sankalpa that, yes, I am ready to become a soldier, is itself a great, 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 great step. So hence, let us switch our mindset from being a normal praja to being a soldier. And soldier means missionary. Soldier means it is not about I, me, mine. It is about the mission that I am supposed to be working for. And not alone, with several other people cooperatively, for which I need to be healthy. I need to be broad-minded. I should not have personal agenda. I should learn to cooperate amongst my buddies. And I need to be vision, mission-oriented, undeterred. Then what will happen? Even though in your entire life, you may not even gone for a war, you'll be still given the privilege of being an army man and have all special privileges. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada is saying. You just distribute my books, be part of my Sankirtan mission, and which is what I meant, holding on to my dhoti, you'll get a backdoor entry and you'll save several initiatives, several steps. Otherwise, you have to go ladder by ladder, ladder by ladder, to one floor, to another floor, to another floor, to another floor. By then, we would have reached the spiritual abode. So going to Vrindavan Dham is both devotional service for our rejuvenation. It is also going to Dham to be part of the missionary. You go to Dham not only for your rejuvenation, it is also you can go and serve in Dham. You can go and clean Dham. You can go and serve the cows, serve the Dhamvasis. So it is both ways. Making sense, Mataji?
Yes, 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 Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much for this enlightening answer, Prabhuji. I can relate it very nicely now. Thank you, Prabhuji. And once again, reminding that catching the dhoti, it helps a lot. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. According to me, more than catching the dhoti, what intrigues me is the backdoor entry. Because backdoor entry saves so much of... I'm slightly thinking in a mean way. I know for sure for me to do a long cut is going to take a long time. So when Prabhupada says, I'll give you a shortcut, so that naturally intrigues me.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, 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 Prabhuji. That's the only hope now. Really. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, if there are no questions or comments, we will end the call here. Prabhuji has answered the questions from the chat also. So we'll pay obeisances to Prabhuji. Panchakalpa Upanishad, Kripasin Dugyeva Cha, Patitanam Pavanam
Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.